I'm trying to get somewhere that's real and pure and true and eternal. Toby, can you go with your boy? Let's go.
From the Lighthouse Chapel International, Apostle Joel Obuobisa will inspire you with anointed, practical, and down-to-earth Bible-based teachings that will refresh, energize, and motivate you to do your best for God. Join the Apostle now as he ministers the Word of God.
Thank you for your presence and thank you for the Holy Spirit. I pray, Lord, that you will lead us and guide us into all truth. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody says, amen. Hallelujah. Put your hands together for the Lord. Amen. And you may be seated. You may be seated. Amen. Now, today, I want to share with you for a short time. I want to share with you from this little book, Catch the Anointing. Amen. Now, the anointing is the Spirit. Amen. We just prayed asking God for His Spirit. And in this little book, you find that the Spirit of God is the anointing, and the anointing can be caught. Amen. The anointing, you can catch the anointing, and the anointing can come upon you, and it is the same as the Spirit coming upon you. Hallelujah. Now, it is the Spirit upon a person that actually changes the person. That's what really affects a person's life. Hallelujah. And so, if you ever wondered how come going to church, for example, changes people, it is because of the Spirit. And when the Spirit is in a church, the people who attend that church are affected by the Spirit and their lives are transformed. Amen. When the Spirit is not in the church, the people who attend that church are not affected by the messages. They are not affected by the church. Their attendance at the church does not really affect them. Amen. And so the Spirit is the main thing. Hallelujah. The Spirit is the main thing. And you need the Spirit as a Christian. Hallelujah. The Bible says that as many as are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. Of course, the sons of God can expect to be led by the Spirit of God. What do you think? You would expect that if somebody is a child of God, he would be led by God or by the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. So it says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Not as many as belong to the church. Do you get it? The church is an organization and anyone can join it. As you can see, there are even no membership. There's nothing to scan or anything like that to enter this place. Which means just coming to this place or even coming regularly to this place, it's not what makes a person a child of God. Are you getting what I'm saying? But rather, as many as are led by the Spirit, as many as have the Spirit in them, they are the sons of God. Hallelujah. So it is important for you as a Christian to catch the Spirit and to become anointed by the Spirit. Amen. Anointed with the Spirit and anointed by the Spirit. Now, often many people think that only preachers need to be anointed because they are the ones doing the work of God. They are the ones preaching. But Christians need to be anointed, even for because of this verse. What do you think? Because it didn't say as many as are led by the Spirit, they are the preachers of God. But they are the sons of God. So being anointed is necessary just for living a normal Christian life or even for counting yourself in. What do you think? Yes, just for including yourself among the Christians, you need to have the Spirit. You need to have a piece of God in you to call yourself one of His children. Isn't it? You call yourself one of His children. You see, the reason why they have paternity tests and so on is to prove that someone actually is the child of someone. Because you want to see a little piece of that person inside the person. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah. So they test and look into different things and just try to find me in him. And once they locate it, they say, ha, you are the father. You can't run away. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So it is very important that we are anointed with the Spirit. Amen. Now, in particular, there is a chapter 3, which deals with how people can become anointed by the Spirit. And in particular, the process or the art of soaking in messages. Amen. The art of soaking in messages. And I want to share a little bit of that with you. Amen. Before we bring the service to a close today. Amen. Now, why do we have to soak in messages? We soak in messages because the messages are preached by the men of God. Amen. It's not just listening to a podcast. Today there are many different kinds of podcasts. There are real estate podcasts. The other day I was listening to something, and they were talking about a podcast on traveling, solo travel. Yeah, traveling alone, you know. And everybody has a podcast. There's a podcast on everything, you know. So it's not just listening to something, but it is listening to something that has the Spirit in it that affects you. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Now, in Luke chapter 4 and verse 18, Luke chapter 4 and verse 18, the Bible says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised." Hallelujah. It says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me to preach the gospel." Right? So when God calls people to preach, He puts His Spirit on them. He says, "I've put His Spirit, my Spirit upon them, or upon him, because I have anointed him, you know, to preach the gospel." In other words, I've enabled him or equipped him because of what I've asked him to do. Are you following what I'm saying? Yes. It says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me to preach the gospel." So people who preach the gospel are supposed to have the Spirit. Amen. And for you to experience any of these things, you need to expose yourself to someone who, upon whom God has placed His Spirit, do you see, and who is preaching based on what is upon him. Are you getting it? And if you listen to someone who is preaching and who is anointed by the Spirit to preach, you're going to start to experience these things, deliverance. Do you see? He says deliverance. He says recovering of sight to the blind. Right? That speaks about healing, physical healing, as well as even spiritual healing. Do you see? Because many of us suffer from a spiritual kind of blindness. Yeah. A spiritual kind of blindness. Have you ever been in a service before where, you know, maybe the preaching was going on, and then suddenly you have, you know, like an aha moment where you start to wonder, why didn't I think about it this way? Yeah, it's because you were blind before. Are you understanding what I'm saying? You were blind before you were exposed to the preaching, or before you heard what you heard, you know. And you can see that as people continue to come to church, and as people continue to come and get themselves exposed to anointed preaching, the transformation that takes place in their life is because of the blindness that is being removed. Amen. The Bible says the devil, who is the god of this world, it says he has blinded the eyes, the god of this world. Carrie, can we give us that scripture? It says the god of this world has blinded the eyes of people who don't believe. Right? It says the god of this world, bring me that scripture, let me just read it with you. Right? It says, in whom, let's start from verse 3. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Can you see that? It says, if our gospel, that the gospel means good news, the good news of salvation through Jesus Christ, if it's hidden, it says, if someone can't see it, or if people are not saved, because it's good news. I mean, who would want to go to hell in their right mind? Do you see? Yeah. And I've met a few people in life who boldly say, yeah, I want to go to hell. And their boldness confirms the extent of the blindness. Because you rarely meet anybody who sees a house on fire and says, I want to go and burn in this fire. No, most people are running away from fire, even small ones in the kitchen. Are you getting it? When there's an accident and the vehicle catches fire, everybody is worried. And everyone runs to the scene and they try to get the person out of fire. Now, hell is about living eternally, not for a few days or a few hours or a few months, but living eternally in a lake of fire. That is what hell is. Do you see? So if someone is choosing that as his eternal destination and that saying that I want to go to hell and I don't care about going to hell, they obviously don't understand. They don't get it. There is a blindness affecting them. And so the Bible says the good news, which is the gospel is how you can escape hell. That's the good news. And it says if someone cannot see it, it is because he's suffering from a blindness. And I think you agree with that. That if you were to provide a way of escape from a very terrible something, and someone is choosing not to, you know, take that way of escape, he's either mentally retarded, you know, and there's something wrong. So actually what the Bible is saying is that there is some kind of mental retardation involved when people see hell and they still want to walk boldly into it and choose it. There's something wrong. They can't see. Do you see? But the next verse is the verse I was drawing our attention to. Is the verse is explaining why they can't see. They can't see because the God of this world, the God of this world, the system of this world, the one who runs the systems of this world, you see, he has blinded the minds of them which believe not. The God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. So the God of this world is one of the names of the devil. The God of this world has blinded the minds of people who don't believe. The reason why they don't believe is because their minds have been blinded. You know, a person may not easily believe that he has a blind mind. That your mind is blind. Your mind cannot see the things it can see. What is being explained looks very foreign to you. You don't understand why people go to church. I mean, some of us were in like that. We didn't understand why people would go to church. Is there anybody like that? You didn't understand why. Why would people go to church? What about this? Why would people go to church and spend a long time there? Yeah. All right. Now, how many of you who raised your hand are now doing exactly what you didn't understand what people were doing or why people were doing it? Raise up your hand. Let me see. Yeah. You see, now you're doing the same thing. So what is the difference? Obviously, you didn't understand something before. And that's what the Bible is saying, that you had a mind that was blinded by the God of this world. So you couldn't see certain things. And it says, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. So he just shuts down the mind. And the mind cannot see as it should see. Hallelujah. Is it making sense what I'm sharing with you? Right? So, for this blindness to be removed, because obviously, even to speak about blindness in relation to the mind, blindness would often be in relation to the eyes. If it was physical, then your blindness would be related to your eyes. But if you're having a blindness of the mind, then it's not physical. It is spiritual. It takes more than opening your eyes physically to see what you must see. Do you understand? Which means if someone was to hold their fingers to your eyes and to open, keep them open like that, it would not cure the blindness of your mind. And if it is a spiritual problem, then it calls for a spiritual solution. That is why it takes the Spirit of God being on someone to be able to open that blind mind. So in back to Luke 4:18. So Jesus said, the Spirit of God is upon me. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He's upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel. You remember, this gospel is what the blind-minded people couldn't see. And Jesus is saying that God has sent me to bring that message to people. And to do that, he has equipped me to be able to do it. And the equipping of a person to be able to open blind minds is the pouring of the Spirit on that person. Are you getting it? Right. And so he says, when the Spirit of the Lord is upon the person, he says, he has sent me, the job he has sent me to do requires the pouring of the Spirit on me, because it's a spiritual work. And it has to be done by someone who has the Spirit to be able to get people out of that situation. Then he starts to list it. He says, to heal the brokenhearted. To heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives. That people will be delivered as they listen to preaching. There's a lot of deliverance that comes from just exposure to anointed preaching. Just being in the presence of preaching, 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 preaching. How else would you explain it? Think about it. How else would you explain it? Every time we hear testimonies, did we listen to any other testimonies this morning? There was a testimony this morning at the First Love Church, Bishop's Church. A gentleman who said that he grew up in a home where they sold alcohol, you know, and so he grew up drinking from the age of 10. Yeah. Now, when you've been drinking from the age of 10, it takes a bit more than, you know, advice to quit. Yeah. It takes a bit more than that. The other day, I was traveling through an airport, and I saw these packets of cigarettes. And they have written very boldly. You know, before they used to write these things, but very small. But now they have written on it boldly, you know, smoking kills. Yeah, not smoking can kill. This time, it's smoking kills. It's like you touch this thing, it's suicidal. Yes, but it's for sale. Yes. They should even have been giving it out for free. Yeah, you pay to be killed. Do you see? when someone is caught by something like that, he cannot easily free up himself. But you find people, you know, going to church and exposure to preaching, just preaching, because there's nothing, we don't have any Alcoholics Anonymous class or anything like that in the church. Yeah, we don't have anything. We have ministries, yes, we have the choir, we have, and what else we have? Dancing stars and so on, but we don't have anything that talks to people about how to break the habit of drinking. We don't have anything like that. And I really don't know any church that has that. I don't know. Maybe you do, but I don't know any church that has that. And yet people's lives are transformed. One of the testimonies this morning, the girl said that she hated her father. She said she grew up with her mother who kept feeding her with negative things about her father. You understand? Now, if God ever blesses you to be a mother, try not to ruin your children's lives by poisoning them against their father. That's not how you treat someone you love. Do you see what I'm saying? Because that's going to set the person up to be cursed. Yes. Yeah. You see, when someone is a poor lover, he's not necessarily a bad father. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah, there's some people who come with both, but what I mean is that when somebody's father does not fulfill their obligations towards their mother, you see, they should not automatically be branded as evil towards the child. Do you get it? So some people didn't do well as husbands and lovers and baby fathers and whatever. Do you see what I'm saying? But in their hearts, they have a genuine love for their child. And sometimes the fathers are kept away because the mother wouldn't let them see the child. Yes, because you hate someone and you found the one thing he loves. What will you do? You keep the one thing away from him. So you tell him stories and you tell the child stories and you keep widening the gap. You get it? Yes. So this girl, anyway, said that she grew up hating her father so much. You know, then she started coming to church and she started listening to the preaching. Nobody gave her any counseling about relating with the father. But just being exposed to preaching, do you see, of someone who has been sent by the Lord, do you see, to preach deliverance to captives, because of which assignment God has poured his spirit. You see that person's mind starts to change. Their lives begin to be affected. People who used to steal just steal no more. People who live in sin just suddenly, what had always felt right suddenly stops feeling right. No one is chasing you, no one is following you, but now you in your room, you feel like what you are doing is wrong. The reason is that you have been exposed to the Spirit of the Lord through being exposed to preaching that is inspired by the Spirit. Hallelujah. Says so he preaches deliverance to the captives. I believe very much in preaching deliverance to the captives. Yes. Just preaching. I mean, it's good to pray for people. You see, when you pray for people, you cast the devil out of them. But if you don't put in them the wisdom and the knowledge that keeps the devil out, the devil is going to come right back. Are you getting what I'm saying? When you pray for someone, you know, and pray for deliverance and so on for the person, it's like you're helping someone who can't help himself. So it's like an ambulance bringing someone on the stretcher to the emergency room. They can't do that. Do you see? But when you preach and teach people every day, you are just teaching them how to live to avoid getting on a stretcher. And you find in time that people's lives are affected as you keep listening to preaching, and just keep listening to preaching, I'm trying to show you what in preaching changes people. Or if you like, what about going to church changes a person? Do you see? But I don't want to start from that end, because it's got to be the right church. You have to have a church where somebody is saying, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Can you see that? He has anointed me to preach deliverance to the captives. So deliverance comes from preaching. If you're going to stop that habit, you need to listen to what? Preaching. If you're going to be delivered from some of the spirits that haunt you and chase you, and they don't make you sleep at night, and so on and so forth. People have all kinds of spiritual experiences. Yes. I met a guy not so long ago. Where was it? Right? Not so long ago. I met a guy who told me he slept with some lady, and since that time, every night he goes to bed, somebody comes to sleep with him. Yeah. Because not everybody moving down the streets, you know, is a human being. Yes. And some of those humans have demons living in them. If the Spirit of the Lord can be upon someone, can you not imagine that a demon also can be upon someone? And if the Spirit of the Lord on someone affects what they do, can you not imagine that a demon on someone will also affect what the person does? So sometimes some people look extra lustful and extra beautiful and extra attractive. You don't even know why you're attracted to the person. Because when you think about it, in your right mind, this is not even, sometimes people write down the type of person they like. And you see, what you're looking at doesn't fit the profile you have on there. But somehow you are still drawn to it. I know people who sleep with girls they don't want to marry. They know in their mind that this person, I don't really like the person. So then you ask, what do you think is making you do what you're doing? Because you really don't like the person. You have the option of taking the person forever and you don't want it. So if the prospect of having someone forever is not, that's not the person you would like to have forever. It means you don't like the person. So what is drawing you so much to the person? Something you don't want to have. Most things you like, you'd like to have them. Yeah. Are you understanding my little message today? I'm trying to show you what is in going to church and what is in preaching in particular that actually changes a person. It says to set at liberty them that are bruised. The preaching will set at liberty them that are bruised. Preaching will set at liberty them that are bruised. Are you understanding the word of God? Preaching will set at liberty anyone who has been affected by life. And sometimes you see that we have been scarred and affected by life. There are some of us who cannot even trust anybody anymore. We can't believe anything anymore. We've been wounded. We've become really callous and hard. You know, yeah. No one can get through to us. One of the ladies who was speaking this morning, she said, nobody could advise me. She said, nobody could advise me. You dare not advise me. You can't even talk to me. And such people, it's because they've been disappointed so many times, or they've had so many negative things, they've built a wall around themselves. Yeah. Guys especially can be like that. Guys, you see, a lot of guys who act tough and criminal is often because they're trying to protect themselves. There's one guy who used to come to church here. He told me one day, look, I fight them because I know if I don't fight them, they'll fight me. Yeah. So he's in the habit of getting into fights and beating people because his mind is that if I don't beat this guy up, he's going to beat me. Yeah? He used to come to church with a knife. Yeah, he would have a knife on him. And as I'm talking to him, he has a knife. Yeah. And I asked him one day, so what's this for? So he said, you know, apostle, it's for... Because if I don't protect myself, these guys are gonna get me. It's from the experiences, the things the person has been through. That's what makes people like that. But you can be set free from it. You can be set free from it, absolutely. All you need is exposure or an encounter with someone upon whom the Spirit of God is, that the Spirit of God is upon him and he has anointed him to do such things. And it's only a matter of time before you are delivered. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Acts chapter 10 and verse 38. Acts chapter 10 and verse 38. Acts chapter 10 and verse 38. Acts chapter 10, it says, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. Can you see that? It says, how God did what? God anointed Jesus Christ with the Holy Ghost and with what? Power. Who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Can you see that? He says, God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. And based on that, he went about doing good and he was fixing everyone who was oppressed of the devil. Everyone who had anything going on in his life that had the devil behind it got some help from an encounter with a person upon whom God had poured his Spirit. And the reason is because the Spirit on the person is God with the person. The Spirit on the person, God anointed Jesus Christ with the Holy Ghost and with power. Let's assume we don't even know what Holy Ghost is. We don't know what Holy Ghost is. It is not until we read to the end of the scripture that we find out the implication of having the Holy Ghost on someone. That the Holy Ghost with a person, or the Holy Ghost on a person, is God with him. And so when you encounter someone upon whom God has poured his Spirit like that, he says he was healing all that were oppressed of the devil. All that were oppressed of the devil. All that were oppressed of the devil. Anyone who had any aspect of his life being ruled and directed and controlled and inspired by the devil. And sometimes you can tell. You can tell that this part of my life is being directed by the devil or by demons just based on the outcome. Just based on the outcome. You go ahead, do whatever you do, but you ask yourself after you've done it, how does it feel? And you see, many times you feel very terrible. Many times you feel destroyed. Many times you feel like you're not going to make it. Many times you feel like you're useless. All of those things are signs of who is behind what is happening. The fruit, that's what Jesus said. By their fruit, you will know them. We know things by the fruit. We know things by what they produce. If you have anything going on in your life that produces depression, depression is the fruit. You have to know its source. Are you getting it? So he said, all that were oppressed of the devil, oppressed, oppressed, oppressed. Well, I see pressing in there. It means that the person is under a force he can't lift up. You can't get that thing off you. It's pushing you and pushing. pushing you down. It's weighing you down. It's against your wishes. That's not how you want to live. That's not who you want to be. That's not where you want to be. That's not how you want to be known. But that's who you are. You can't help but be that way. It calls for healing. It calls for healing. But the healing will take place if you had an encounter with someone whom God has anointed with the Holy Ghost and with power. Are you understanding it? Whom God has anointed with the Holy Ghost and with power. You need power. It takes power to be a Christian. It takes power to be a good Christian. John chapter 1 and verse 12, the Bible says, as many as received him, as many as received him, to them, look at this, read it with me, everybody, read it. 1, 2, 3, go. But as many as received him, then what? To them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. He gave them what? Power. Everybody say power. Say power. Say I need power. He gave them power to become sons of God. So maybe the reason why you're not becoming what you must become is because of the lack of power. Are you getting it? Yes. And if you read backwards a little bit, you'll see who they were receiving. They were receiving the person that God had anointed with the Holy Ghost and with power. That is how come when they received him, he gave them power. Of course, you can't give someone what you don't have. That's why when your power bank dies, what it loses is not the power to connect to your phone, but it loses the ability to give anything to your phone. Because that's what it lacks. It's not about the connection. It's about what's in it. So if they receive power from him, he must have been anointed with power. And because he was anointed with power, they received power when they encountered him. Their lives were never again the same. They received power to become sons of God. They received power to overcome sin. Power to say no to drugs. Power to say no to fornication. Power to say no to drinking. Power to say yes to Jesus. Power to say yes to church. Power to say yes. It's power. It's power. It's power. Some people feel they are always sinning because they are weak-willed. No, everybody is weak-willed. All of us are no match, you know, against the things that our body is naturally designed to like. All of us are no match for those things, like food. Eish. Yeah. You know, one day I was eating. I felt I was full, and I was still kind of eating. Then I realized I'm not hungry. I'm just enjoying the pleasure. It's just the thing rolling in my mouth. That whole thing just tossing it left and right in my mouth and swallowing. That's what I'm enjoying. Yeah. So even though I was full over here and was even starting to feel uncomfortable, I wish there was a pipe connected to this just to keep these guys coming out while I keep going and keep going. So none of us is any match for the things that our bodies are designed both to do and to enjoy doing. Yeah, and if you have to intercept it, you need power. Yes. You need power to be able to not do what your body so much wants to do. You need power. Power. Anytime you try to intercept a natural process, you need power. Yes. If I start rolling a ball, if you must stop it, you need power. Anything that the ball, the force behind the ball is stronger than, the ball will climb over it. The ball will only stop for things that have more power than the power with which it's coming. If you're going to stop it, if you're going to win that battle, you're going to need power. Yeah, it's not will. We're not talking about willpower. No, none of us have any type of willpower. Yeah, those who claim to have some willpower, it's just sometimes people say they have willpower against things they don't like anyway. Most people can say no to lemons. If I gave you a glass of lemon or lime to drink, I think most people can say no. How many of you think you have enough power to say no to lemon? Yes. And yet it's not you, it's the taste. It's the lemon that's stopping itself. But when someone introduced me to cinnamon cinnabons. Do you know cinnamon cinnabons? Huh? Next time you go to, you see, DJ is saying, oh, Apostle, why did you bring this up? That thing has about 1 million calories. Oh, my goodness. Tastes so good. So nice. Especially when it's hot. You're standing there and, I mean, yeah, they bring it out of the oven, you know, and they have the cream. I don't know what's in that thing. Oh, my goodness. It's anointed with something. Yeah? So you need power. You need power. He says, he gave them power to become sons of God. Even so, you can see the power to become what you must become still comes from an encounter with someone upon whom God has poured his spirit to overcome these kinds of things. Hallelujah. Amen. So that is the reason why our encounter with the words of anointed people, because, you know, let me show you this other verse, John chapter 6 and verse 63. John chapter 6 and verse 63. It says, it is the spirit that quickeneth. It is the spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. Then he says, the words that I speak unto you, they are what? Spirit. And they are what? Right. He says, it is the spirit that quickeneth. Or it is the spirit that actually affects somebody. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. If you take quicken is an old word that means to make alive. It's like, it's the spirit that, but if you even take it literally, you see, if you, literally quickening means then speeding up. Right? So what it means is that it is the spirit that actually affects you. Makes you do something that you were not doing before. Do you see what I'm saying? He says, it is the spirit that quickness. Then he says, the flesh profits nothing. The flesh, there's nothing good you can expect from your flesh. Except to say no to a glass of lemon. Can you see that? Then he's showing us how to get the spirit. He says, the words that I speak to you, the words that I speak to you, these are the words. The guy started by saying, the spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach. Preaching involves the communication and the distribution and dispersing of words. Do you see? And he says that these words, they are the spirit. These words, the words that you hear, they are spirit. The words I'm speaking to you now, they are the spirit. Yes. Look at the next verse. He said, the first line of the next verse, verse 64. And he said, but there are some of you that don't believe it. He said, there are some of you who don't believe it. You don't believe that the words are the spirit. You don't believe that to have the spirit, you must have the words. Because the Spirit is in the words. The Spirit is in the words. The Spirit is in the words. And he says, it is the Spirit that quickens. It is the Spirit that affects somebody. Yes. What the police are not able to get people to do, what parents are not successful at doing, you find people going to church and suddenly the person has changed. One of the girls said this morning that her father mentioned Bishop Dagg's name and said, God bless Bishop Dagg. Bishop Dagg has changed my daughter. Yeah, he said, Bishop Dagg has been able to change my daughter. Yes. Because, you know, that you get to a point where you know that there's no hope. There's no hope. If your child will change, it's not you. It's not you. Even some parents are driven to a point where they wish for a bad experience for their child. Yes. Yes. It's not uncommon to see a parent of a child in jail who is saying it's good for him. Say, no, it's good for him. At least someone can control him. Someone can keep him off the streets. Someone can determine when he goes to bed. These are all things that parenting fails at doing at a certain point. Some earlier, but everybody later. Yes. Even at a point you see the parents, you can't keep up. When our kids were young, they all went to bed, then we went to bed. Now, we go to bed, and they go to bed. They put us to sleep, and then they go to bed. But before, it used to be the other way around. So you can't keep up. You can't. I mean, it's 10 p.m., it's 11 p.m. and you see the guy coming with energy. I mean, the day is not ending. It's now starting. Yeah, you know you can't keep up. You're going to follow them around. You're going to go to every place they go to. Even when you take their phones, you can't understand the text messages they have. You don't get it. Because you're not in that world. So parenting has a limit. But then enter the Spirit. Enter the Spirit. Enter the Spirit. The Spirit is able to make an arrest. Will arrest the soul, will arrest the mind, will arrest even someone the police can't find. Yeah, the police can't find him. Yes. One day someone who was wanted by the police came to tell me what he had done. I didn't ask for it. He's telling me. The police is asking for it. He's not telling them. They can't even find him. Eventually, they found it. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Yes. It is the Spirit. It is the Spirit. He says there are some of you who don't believe. There are some of you who don't believe that the Spirit is what you need. That the Spirit is what you need. The Spirit will change your life. Yes, the Spirit will make you wiser and make you smarter than your peers. Let me tell you something. If you think that you're doing what your peers are doing and that makes you smart, you're making a mistake. You're making a mistake. You're making a mistake. It means your life cannot get any better than what you're seeing around. That's what it means. Because everything you're seeing around is the highest wisdom at that level. That's what you're seeing. But there's a wisdom that is higher than that. It comes from the Spirit. And the Spirit is the one that it comes through the words of an anointed person. He says, but some of you do not believe. So anointed people's words are contain the Spirit. Do you understand? Look at this other verse. Ezekiel chapter 2 and verse 2. Ezekiel chapter 2 and verse 2. I'm almost finished. Ezekiel chapter 2 and verse 2. Can you read it together? Everybody, 1, 2, 3, go. Wow. Did you just read that? What did it say? The Spirit did what? The Spirit entered into me when? When he spake unto me. And look at the effect. He set me upon my feet. Wow. The Spirit entered into me when he spake unto me. Why is the Spirit entering me when he's speaking to me? Because the Spirit is upon him. The Spirit is upon him and has anointed him to say the things he's saying. He's revealing to us how things work in the realm of the Spirit. That's why you need to watch who you're listening to. Because the Spirit that is upon him, making him say the things he's saying, making her say the things she's saying, that Spirit is going to enter into you. Don't be surprised when you start becoming like them. Yeah. That's why you see sometimes people become like the stars of the music or the stars behind the music they listen to. Just as they start listening to the person. Because the Spirit entered into me when he spake unto me. Yeah. That's why you see a lot of people who like a certain type of music start to take on the habits and the lifestyle of the people who are associated with and well known for that type of music. This is true. Years ago when reggae music was very popular, you know, I mean, most people who like reggae music, you know, I used to have a brother, you know, we lost him many years ago. He loved reggae music. And then he started to love the ganja. Do you know ganja? The flowers. The salad. He became vegetarian. This is long ago. It seems you can't touch that music without touching some of the stuff out of which the lyrics and the whole lifestyle and culture spring. It's coming from somewhere. It's coming from somewhere. And the Spirit on the person is producing the things you enjoy. And so as he's continued to speak to you, he says, the Spirit entered into me when he spoke to me. Yeah. This is how it works. This is how it works. And then he said, he set me upon my feet. You get it? Inspired by what has entered into me. Set me upon my feet. He enabled me. He emboldened me. He empowered me. Do you see? So if that spirit is negative, you are now rising up to go do those same things. You're rising up to go smoke. You're rising up to go into rebellion. You're rising up to go into all these kinds of things because of the Spirit that has entered into you. Yes. And of course, you're deceived because you think you're exercising your own will. I hope you understand the verse. The Spirit entered into me when he spake unto me. So you need to watch who is speaking to you. You need to watch who is speaking to you. Because the Spirit that is upon them will also enter into you when they continue to speak to you. Hallelujah. Acts chapter 10 and verse 44. Acts chapter 10 and verse 44. Every time people are speaking, the Spirit is around. The Spirit upon them is upon them. Look at this one. Let's read it. 1, 2, 3, go. It says, while Peter yet spake these words, what happened? The Holy Ghost fell upon all them which heard the word. All them which heard the word. While Peter was speaking. While Peter, the anointed man, was speaking, the Holy Ghost, which is the Spirit that was upon him, fell upon all them which had. Wow. Because every time preaching is going on, the Spirit that is inspiring the preaching is around. Are you getting it? The Spirit is around. Let me show you one more example. Luke chapter 5 and verse 17. Luke chapter 5 and verse 17. Are you learning something from this? Luke chapter 5 and verse 17. Look at this. It came to pass on a certain day. As he was preaching, there were Pharisees and doctors of law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem. Now look at what is happening. And the power of the Lord was present to heal them. As Jesus was teaching, the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Can you imagine that? As he was teaching, the power of the Lord was present. The teaching invoked the power of the Lord. Because remember, the teaching is one of the products of the anointing on a person. Remember, he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach. Do you understand? So every time you're exposed to that preaching, the Spirit of the Lord is actually present. Look, believe me, as I'm preaching to you right now, the Spirit of the Lord is present. Yes, present to do. And look at it. It says that while Jesus was teaching, it says the power of the Lord was present to heal. To heal. The power of the Lord was present to heal. It's also the reason why you see so many miracles at the Crusades. Because as the preaching and teaching is going on, the power of the Lord is present and it starts to do wonders. Hallelujah. Yes, the power of the Lord was present to heal. One last one. Mark chapter 1. In Mark chapter 1, you see a very interesting situation. Now, it says in Mark chapter 1, verse 21. It says, and they went into Capernaum, and straightway on the Sabbath day, he entered into the synagogue and taught. Say, and taught. See, now once you see teaching or preaching, expect wonders, something supernatural. Expect a display of power. So he entered into the synagogue and taught, and verse 2, and they were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one that had authority and not as the scribes. Can you see? I told you there is anointed preaching and there is preaching that's not anointed. And the people could tell the difference. They said, this preaching has some power that the other type of preaching doesn't seem to have. You see, so he taught them as one that had authority and not as the scribes. Then he goes on to say, and there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit. See, I told you, since we don't filter who comes in, expect any type of person in church. Expect a man in the synagogue with an unclean spirit. Expect it. Don't be surprised if you see a woman in the synagogue with an unclean spirit. Don't be surprised. Don't be surprised when you see a fine person in the synagogue with an unclean spirit. And if you're finding them with an unclean spirit, even in the synagogue, imagine what is in them as you're finding them at the club, finding them in the streets, finding them in so many different places. You just imagine what's in there. Indeed, in the synagogue, there's an unclean spirit. And he said, he cried out. This is Jesus is teaching. The man with the unclean spirit is in the synagogue. And he cries out. What does he say in verse 24? He says, leave us alone. He says, leave us alone. What have we to do with thee? Leave us alone. The pastor is preaching and the demons are shouting, leave us alone. What has the pastor's preaching got to do with the demons? Why are the demons feeling they are being threatened by the pastor's preaching? I thought it was just words. But remember, the words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. The words must be more than words, otherwise they won't be setting captives free. No, you don't just set a captive free without a key. If you see someone in handcuffs, how do you set them free without a key? There must be something you have that is breaking the person's bondage and setting them free. Are you understanding what I'm saying? He says, the demon said, leave us alone, leave us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus? It's like, what have we done to you? Leave us alone, leave us alone. Art thou come to destroy us? Have you come to the demons just all that Jesus did. Look, go back. Let's make sure we're at verse 23. Verse 22, please. They were astonished at his what? Doctrine means teaching. They were shocked at his teaching. For he taught them as one that had authority and not as the scribes. You can see, what is Jesus doing? He's not whipping anybody. He's not touching anybody. He's just teaching a doctrine. He's just imparting a message. Like I'm doing this morning. He's just preaching. He's just teaching. He's just bringing the word forth. He's just explaining something. That's all Jesus was doing. And that's all he had to do for the demons to shout, leave us alone. If it wasn't for the demons who couldn't keep quiet, we would never have known that as Jesus was teaching, his teaching was a direct assault on demons in people's lives. And I'm not surprised. If the demons are the ones blinding people, then teaching that brings recovery of sight is an assault on the demons. You are directly opposing their work. Whatever the devils have blinded people to, you are now causing the scales to fall off their eyes, and they are beginning to see the preaching and the teaching is actually directly counteracting the work of the devils. That's why they said, leave us alone. And then the next word they use is destroy. Have you come to destroy us before our time? We know there's destruction for us. But please, not now. Allow. The demons were saying, stop preaching. Stop the preaching. Stop the teaching. That's one of the reasons why the devil tries to keep people off preaching. Tries to keep, you know, sometimes I come to church and I see some of the people outside during the preaching and so on. And I say, you don't know what is happening. Someone has lured you here. Sometimes you're just sitting there saying, get out. One day I asked somebody, why are you outside? He said, I don't even know. Yeah, he said, I don't even know why I'm out. Yeah. Because someone doesn't want you to sit through the preaching. He understands that if you endure this preaching, that will be the end of his power over you. He understands it. He understands it. And he wants to continue to dominate your life. He wants to continue to have power over you. Power over your thinking. Power over your mind. So he says the God of this world has blinded their eyes. And the effect is they don't even believe the gospel. Watch out for the edge to leave the service or to go out. Watch out for that thing. Just check the time. What time am I being sent out? It shows you what's behind that going out. Devils and demons making people restless. Who shouts like this in preaching in a church? I mean, if during this preaching today somebody started shouting, leave us alone, leave us alone. Have you come to destroy us before our time? I mean, what would you think? You'll start to see there's something wrong. Everybody will look at the person and they'll start to wonder what's going on with this person. You know, but sometimes people have these things going on in them while the preaching is going on. is not voiced out, but there are voices in their head saying, leave us alone, leave us alone, leave us alone, leave us alone, leave us alone. Listen, endure it, because the anointed preaching will drive out devils from your life. Drive out every devil from your life. Hallelujah. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Now, this is the reason why we encourage all our church members to listen to messages. This what I just explained is the reason. It's not because we want our messages to be popular, or that we want you to buy the messages. Well, of course, you can't accuse us of that because it's free. If the messages were sold, that's what you would have said. You'd have said, you know, this church, they take offerings, and after that they sell the messages too, you know. No, so now you can't say that. But it's for your sake. Are you understanding what I'm saying? That is why we ask every member to get on Bishop's podcast. Of course, the one on whom the Spirit of the Lord is, that's the one whose messages you need to listen to. Yes. That's the message that will change your life. That's why we listen to him. And that's the reason why the enemy tries to kick at that. He'll kick at that. You know, they only listen to their pastor. They only listen to... I mean, who should we listen to? Who should we listen to? Yes? We heard them last week or so. Was it last Father's Day was last week? I think I heard Caitlin sharing her testimony. And so, did you share a testimony last week? They were talking about how they used to think, you know, in a certain way, you know, and they started listening to the preaching. Have you ever met Bishop? Have you spoken to Bishop before? Never? Right? So, you see, Bishop listening to his messages without meeting him ever, her life has changed. Her life has changed. This is what the enemy doesn't want. This is what he doesn't want. So any garbage he can feed into your mind against that, to prevent that from happening, he will. He will. And you keep going around feeling and thinking you're smart, but most people, when they grow up, you see, one of the reasons why you don't see grown-ups doing what young people do, it's not because they lack the energy to do it. Do you get it? But they see a stupidity in it that young people don't see. Not true or false. Yeah. Just the same reason why you, at your age, you see that there are some things you don't do that maybe Senna will do. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. And it's not because you can't do them, like you don't wear diapers to church. Do you see what I'm saying? Because you see something in it that Senna doesn't see. That's why you don't do it. It's not because you can't afford diapers. If anything, you can afford diapers more. You can bring a whole box to church and be changing them. But you can see something in it that someone down there cannot see. That's it. That's why people walk away from certain lifestyles. See, sometimes people are growing older. They stop clubbing. They stop doing certain things. Well, I had a friend who told me, he met one of his friends, and the friend invited him to go to a party or something. And he said, he just looked at the guy. You're still doing these things. You get it? You're still doing these things. We go to parties. We see all these girls. We sleep with them. We don't even know their names. So this type of things. He said, we're still doing this kind of thing. Yeah, because you get to a certain place where a little light starts to come. I want all of you in this church to have the podcast and to form a habit of listening to anointed preaching. And not only the podcast, let me introduce another one called the Makane. The Makane is, can you show us the Makane online? The Makane is a collection of camps, you know, and that's If you like the podcast, if you like Bishop's podcast, then the Makane is like the podcast on steroids. Do you see? Yeah. If podcast is like economy class. Makane is business class. First class. Yeah, the type that has the flatbed. Yes. Oh, no, now they have suites, right, with a shower and everything. All right? Yes. Yes? No, seriously. And as you listen to these messages, remember, listen, I'm not even talking about even understanding what you're hearing. Because we are not even there yet. We are just saying that exposure to the words is exposure to the spirit behind the words. Even if you don't understand them. I've seen people who have listened to, they barely speak English. And all these messages are in English. And yet their lives, even their ministries, are being changed. I'm talking about pastors of churches who listen to these messages, and their churches are being transformed just by exposure to words they don't even understand yet. God is going to change your life. God is going to transform your life. God is going to change your future. God is going to transform your future. Start listening to these, and all of these are free online. Instead of loading up junk. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah, instead of downloading all sorts of sometimes naked pictures and so on. You see, you don't have to go buy these things. Biology books. You can download any biology book and you'll find all those things in there. And if you are really that much into biology, then study biology in school. And at least get a degree for it. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah, if you're into anatomy and you're so much into anatomy, you might as well get a degree for it and at least get paid something. And listen, instead of all that junk we have on our phones, let's start loading them up with messages. Preaching. And I guarantee you, if you listen to these things, you don't just take even one of them only. Just one. And listen to it. If your life doesn't change, come back. I'll take you to. Where do you want to go? In and out. I'll give you a free lunch. You listen to one of these things and it didn't affect you. It didn't change your life somehow. I'll take you to In and Out. Yeah? I can upgrade it to McDonald's. Oh, that's a downgrade. That's a downgrade. Okay. Right. Where? Chick-fil-A. Would Chick-fil-A be an upgrade? Everybody accepts Chick-fil-A is an upgrade? All right, we'll go to Chick-fil-A. Yeah. Yes. No, I'm serious. Yeah. You listen to the Makane and it didn't change your life. Not only do we have this, we have them also in videos. You see, this is audio and video, and it's just all there. Your life will be transformed. Hallelujah. If you're really serious about walking with God, this stuff is going to help you. It's going to help you. Because the words are spirit and they are life. The words are what? Spirit. And they are what? Life. They are life. They are life. They are life. That means you live as you get exposed to them. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Stand to your feet and let's close the service today. Hallelujah. Have you learned something today? How many are going to get into messages from now on? When you call your friend, you should ask them, hey, what message are you listening to lately? Just ask them, what message are you listening to? Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah, just ask the person. Anytime you call your friend, just have a message. Even if you're not listening to it 24/7, at least it should be cued. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah, so you can just, two steps, you hit play and it's playing. Yes. You just let it play. Because remember the Luke 5:17 verse, He says, while Jesus was teaching, the power of God was present. You get it? It's an atmosphere you want to create around you. The power of God is present. When the power of God is present, demons can't penetrate that atmosphere. The demons that bring those suggestions, those ideas, those temptations, they can't penetrate that environment because the power of God is present. Power of God is present. Power of God is present. That's why a lot of things don't occur to you in church while I'm preaching. You see that a lot of thoughts that are often in your mind, they seem to be somewhat suppressed while preaching is going on, because the power of God is present while the preaching is going on. When you go out and you let yourself go wild and start to listen to all sorts of things, then you, that atmosphere around you is no longer there. And when it's not there, that's when the enemy starts to attack. That's when the demons, the evil spirits, that's when the ideas, the suggestions, the temptations, that's when they all start to come around again. Because that power that surrounded you is not there. But now you can keep that power with you all the time. You can literally take the church service home with you. You can restart the church service any time of the day, any time in your life you can actually have church. Yes, through the blessing that Bishop has given us through these materials online. So I want you to get it. If your phone is not giving you unlimited, whatever, just ditch it and get some company that supports your message soaking habits. And for less. I think if you see LPAC, she'll show you a company that will give you free what? Free, unlimited everything for less. $20 or something like that. Yeah. And you bring the rest of the money when we go to Chick-fil-A. Hallelujah. I feel like God is going to change something in your life today. Right? Close your eyes and let's pray, everybody. As we bring the service to a close today, maybe you're here this afternoon and you're saying, Pastor, pray with me because I want to give my life to Jesus. I understand that only God can change my life. And I believe my time has come for a changed life. So Jesus, come into my heart and fill my life. Maybe you're watching us online or listening to our podcast. And you know in your heart that Jesus does not live in you. Today is an opportunity to be saved. Today is an opportunity to be forgiven. Today is an opportunity to change your eternal destination from hell to heaven. So I want to give you that opportunity. If you're saying, Pastor, pray with me. I want to give my life to Jesus today. Raise up your right hand and I'll pray with you. If you're watching us online, just stand right where you are and just bow your heads and we're going to pray. If you're in the service, just raise up your right hand and I'll pray with you. Is there anybody here like that? Is there anyone who wants to give your life to Jesus today? You want Jesus to be Lord over your life today? Just raise up your right hand. Anybody? All right. Why don't we just say this prayer together? Say, Lord Jesus, I thank you for dying for me.
I thank you for dying.
I believe with my heart.
I believe with my heart.
That you are Lord.
That you are Lord.
That you died for my sins.
That you died for my sins.
That there is salvation in no other name.
That there is salvation in no other name.
Except in your name.
Except in your name.
So, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
Please come into my heart.
Please come into my heart.
Forgive my sins, Lord.
Forgive my sins.
Let your blood wash me.
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 Transform my life, Jesus. And make me a child of God.
And make me a child of God.
Thank you, Jesus.
For hearing my prayer.
Say amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Put your hands together for the Lord.